and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita. Ron's not with us today.
Wow. I miss a week and I'm... Hello. By the way, I am Ron and I am here.
Okay, and I'm Jean Marie.
And collectively, we are the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we will be talking about tuberculosis.
Yes. According to the World Health Organization, approximately one quarter of the world's population are infected with the rod-shaped bacteria, Mycobacterium tuberculosis. It kills approximately 1.5 million people every year, making it the second leading infectious killer after COVID-19.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'm kind of surprised we haven't talked about this before.
I am too.
Yeah.
When you mentioned the stats, I'm like, why didn't we talk about this before?
I don't know.
A quarter of the population of the earth.
Have had it. Yeah, have had it.
We're
infected with
it.
Well, when I was growing up, I recall reading about people dying from consumption and scrofula. And I would see characters on, you know, TV and film. I guess this says a lot about what I was reading. a lot of, like, Victorian age stuff. And they'd be, like, you know, on TV, somebody would cough into a handkerchief.
Right.
And then they would look at the handkerchief and there would be that spot of blood on it. And that was it. You knew that that character was in big trouble and not going to be around much longer. And I did not know at that time that consumption and scrofula were terms used in from the 1300s to the late 1800s. So I guess before Victorian times, to describe or diagnose someone with TB. Actually, I thought when somebody said, you know, consumption, that they were eating too much. But they were always skinny, so I didn't really understand.
Okay.
Gotcha.
And nor did I realize that TB is still such a major concern today.
Well, I think they used to call it consumption because of the way the infected individual with active TB would be wasting away, with the drastic weight loss being one of the major symptoms. It was the leading cause of death in the United States in the early 1900s, and was the reason why the National Association for the Study and Prevention of Tuberculosis was founded. And actually, it is today what we call the American Lung Association.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay. Interesting.
Yeah, I
huh?
didn't know that.
Yeah.
And I guess one famous person, you know, there's lots of famous people who have had TB, including like Eleanor Roosevelt is one that comes to mind.
Right.
But, yeah.
And actually, did you know that we had an aunt that had TB? No, that was polio. Wait, what did she have?
That'll be a different episode.
I was going to say.
Yeah, she had polio.
I think there's like hundreds and of thousands of people now in our family tree, so we probably have a relative who has died from
TB
every
the stat was one quarter, right?
Yeah. Have been infected with it.
Yeah.
And 1.5 million people dying a year. Before COVID, it was the number one infectious killer. I mean,
yeah,
that's incredible.
And although we typically associate TB, by the way, we're abbreviating tuberculosis to be TB.
Okay. Right.
We didn't make that clear earlier.
Okay.
We typically associate TB with the lungs, and it can cause an active infection anywhere in the body.
Okay.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah. Well, you're going to know that now.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? I've got some stats here.
Okay.
According to the Johns Hopkins Medicine, there are three stages of TB: exposure, latency, and active disease. The Mayo Clinic describes the latent stage, also referred to as the inactive stage, as the period when the bacteria are in your body, it's inactive and cause no symptoms, and it's not contagious at that time.
Okay, so maybe that's the quarter of the population.
Could be, right. Active TB refers to the stage, also known as TB disease, weeks or months after exposure when you actually do become sick and can be contagious, potentially spreading the bacteria to others. Like you said earlier, Jean, coughing, sneezing, or spitting during the active stage of TB can spread the bacteria.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And fortunately, not everyone who is exposed to the bacteria will develop the disease. the World Health Organization.
That place.
Yeah. People, according to the, okay, let me start over. The World Health Organization states that people infected with TB bacteria have a 5 to 10% lifetime risk of falling ill with an active form of TB. Those with compromised immune systems, such as people living with HIV, people who are suffering from malnutrition, I shouldn't say suffering, who have malnutrition,
yeah.
Or diabetes, or people like even who use tobacco, have a higher risk of falling ill. Without proper treatment, 45% of HIV-negative people with TB, on average, and nearly all HIV-positive people with TB will die without proper treatment. HIV and TB are considered a lethal combination, each speeding the other's progress.
Damn. Some of the more well-known symptoms of an active TB infection in the lungs include a persistent chronic cough, blood-stained sputum, which is like you were saying, if you cough and spit up some blood,
mm-hmm.
fever, and night sweats.
Wow. Someone with an active TB case in the lungs, they may also experience weakness, chills, severe unintentional weight loss, shortness of breath. They could have swollen lymph nodes, pain when breathing and or coughing, and or general chest pain.
Okay. Yeah, and I think also like this is where some like vampire things came up, you know, like the person was wasting away and no one knew why.
Oh.
And other, you know, myths and legends.
Okay.
Based on this.
Didn't know that either.
No.
Someone with an active TB infection that has spread to another organ may experience different symptoms. For example, if the infection has spread to the kidneys, known as renal TB, they may feel pain or burning when urinating. Pain in their side between the ribs and the hips or abdomen, and blood in their urine.
And as we always say, consult a qualified mm-hmm. healthcare provider with any questions you may have about TB or any other medical condition. And because, like, for example, if you have night sweats and are coughing, night sweats could be because you're all of a sudden taking a generic form of your medication. I mean, it could be like anything.
Right. Don't self-diagnose.
No. And it requires, and there is treatment available, so.
Right. TB is treatable.
Okay.
The sooner you know that mm-hmm. you have the latent or active form of TB, the sooner you can begin treatment. When it comes to diagnosing TB, your healthcare provider will likely use a number of tests. Let your healthcare provider know if you have had TB, were ever exposed to TB, or have ever tested positive to a TB skin test. Also, let them know if you have ever received the,
I'm glad
this
is you.
BCG vaccine. Mm-hmm. It's called the Bacille Calmette-Guerin vaccine. Don't know about
that one.
Sounds good. Mm-hmm. All right. Your healthcare provider will do other tests such as a TB skin test to check to see how your immune system reacts to an antigen. They do require a follow-up visit to check your reaction 2 to 3 days after the antigen is injected into the skin of your forearm. Unfortunately, TB skin tests are not 100% accurate. You may have a false negative or a false positive result.
And you shouldn't have one if you've had those
TB,
been exposed or had the vaccine.
Okay. Right. If you've had TB or if you've been exposed, you should not have a skin test.
Okay.
Question.
Yes.
I don't know if it's in here at all.
Yeah.
What it says it's not 100% active. Do we know what percent?
There's different. Different types.
Well, when you get a like for work.
Yeah.
Every
year. There's different tests.
Yeah. So
it could be each one has their own percentage of accuracy. But if you have, you know, if it tests,
if it tests negative,
yeah, but if
do you say, oh, I'm good?
I would think that a qualified healthcare provider would say, it tested negative, you still have all the symptoms, let's move on to
The blood test.
The next.
Okay,
right.
Gotcha.
They are more likely to run a blood test instead. A blood test can detect latent and active forms of TB. It may be used instead of or in conjunction with a TB skin test. This type of test, a blood sample is taken and sent to a lab for interferon gamma release assays, IGRAS testing. Your healthcare provider may also request chest x-rays, a tissue, sputum, or urine culture, or other tests to help them determine the extent, the spread, and or the type of TB bacteria in your system, which may help determine what medications will be most effective in treating the disease.
Mm-hmm. So you may be asking yourself, how can we prevent the spread of TB?
Actually, what I was asking myself was, I wonder if the constant use of masks over the last 2 years has reduced the spread of TB.
I would not doubt it.
But are masks readily available in the areas where TB is most rampant and people don't have access to medical care?
Okay, that's a good question.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, no, I mean, interesting that we brought this up because now with the CDC guidelines changing, masks are not being required in a lot of places.
Well, right. I can tell you I'll still be wearing a mask. It should be around flu season.
Yeah.
No, I mean, this is a whole different conversation.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Now people have been wearing masks for a couple of years.
Right.
And
well, they
now
did say flu cases were reduced. I mean, there was just an overall reduction in cold cases as well. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, again, how can we prevent the spread of TB? And how are the TB infections treated? According to the Mayo Clinic, we can all help prevent the spread of TB. If you test positive for latent TB, your healthcare provider may start you on medications. You should take the medications as prescribed and directed to lower your risk of developing an active case of TB. Wear a face mask. That's a common theme.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the active form of TB, you should stay home. Again, we're all familiar with that.
Yep.
Stay home for the initial 2 weeks of treatment when you are most likely to be contagious. Again, take your medications as prescribed. An active form of TB is typically treated with 6 to 9 months of antibiotics.
Wow.
Yep, which, again, also need to be taken as directed. When you stop treatment early or skip doses, TB bacteria has a chance to develop mutations that allow them to survive the most potent TB drugs.
Hmm.
So, moral of the story, take your meds.
Yeah, but I mean, that is a long
time. That's a long time.
You have to really be dedicated.
Right.
Right. The resulting drug resistant strains are deadlier and more difficult to treat. So, again, it may be a long time, but definitely safer.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a drug-resistant form of TB, you could be on antibiotics for 2.5 years or more. Yeah. Again, just to reiterate, it's vital to take that full course of your medication. Whenever possible, use a disposable tissue to cover your mouth whenever you cough, sneeze, or even laugh. Dispose of the unused tissue in a sealed container. Wash your hands thoroughly throughout the course of the day. Keep the area where the patient is staying ventilated, and whenever possible, allow natural sunlight to light the room to help kill the bacteria.
And it does sound a lot like COVID. You know, you isolate, you want to make sure you're disposing it, wash your hands, a lot of similar things.
Mm-hmm.
And again, not to like switch subjects, but with this, for the last couple of years, it's been kind of ingrained in us in doing this. And I think that's one of the reasons, again, with the flu and some of these other things, that the cases are lower because people are doing, we've been told this all along, you know, wash frequently and do that, but
we've been very lax.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, and also you were saying, you know, similar to COVID, even now we kind of understand variants and how like viruses can change. Well, bacteria can, you know, similarly undergo changes.
Mutate. Right.
Yes. Absolutely. And I do think that a solution is to have unisex bathrooms. but this might just be my theory, so that, you know, men and women see other men and women washing their hands after they go to the bathroom.
Oh, you're implying that men don't wash their hands after going to the bathroom?
I'm just saying in general, I think that would be a good idea.
Well, as a man, I can tell you that you are pretty accurate with that. I see that more than I'd like to admit.
Yeah. Well, I do have nephews, and yeah, when they go into the bathroom and come right back out, I'm like, nope, there's no way. Get back in there. And then I'll ask them, well, what does the soap smell like? And if they can't answer,
why aren't your hands wet?
Yeah, well, they would say they dried them.
Yeah, well, yeah, no, it takes a while.
Yes. Financial support for those needing to take time off of work and quarantine while they're being treated and are still considered contagious can help reduce the spread of TB. So helping to support, you know, social systems is one way to help prevent the spread. Medical assistance, such as directly observed therapy, which essentially means that a healthcare worker gives you your medication and watches you take it, because, you know, so this way you can't forget to take your medication, especially since it's for such a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And that can help individuals adhere to their provider's instructions and prevent, you know, these mega TB things that are hard to treat. Providing disposable masks, gloves, tissues, and other supplies to individuals with active TB. They can have active TB, but that you don't want them to have active TB, may also help reduce the chance of spreading the disease. Also, since malnutrition can be a risk factor for TB and a host of other diseases and illnesses, it is important to work towards ending world hunger. So,
wow, we touched a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got some interesting things to add later, but curiously, how can our listeners, you know, we've talked about it now, but how can our listeners learn more about TB?
Well, you can learn more about TB through the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control.
Thank you.
The World Health Organization.
Who?
Yeah, who?
Sorry.
Yes.
Wow.
Who's on first? The American Lung Association and many other organizations. We will include a few links on our website.
That sounds great.
Okay, if our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com, through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, Twitter, TikTok. Wow. TikTok, Pinterest, or Instagram.
And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a review or follow us wherever you get your podcasts. As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard in this podcast.
Till next week.